I mean, do you ever wonder why when you pray the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come and your will be done, how come God just doesn't step right out of heaven, physically, big, strong God, and say, okay, I'm going to establish my will on earth as it is in heaven? Why doesn't he do that? I mean, he can, right? I mean, if he wanted to, why doesn't he do that? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated. I'm like, Lord, I wish you'd just go ahead and do it, because I'm sick of dealing with my own heart and I'm sick of dealing with other people. I wish you'd just go ahead and make things the way they're supposed to be. Why do we got to deal with all this? Anybody got problems in here? Amen. Come on now, you got problems? Everybody say, yes, I've got problems. We all got problems. The world, some of our world somewhere are not the way it's supposed to be, and we spend a lot of our time trying to make it the way we want it to be. Now notice I said our world isn't the way it's supposed to be. We spend a lot of times making it the way we want it to be. We don't spend a lot of times trying to make it how it's supposed to be, because that would mean probably a very uncomfortable life for us, the way he's kind of worked this thing out. But for some reason, the Lord has chosen his image bearers. That means you and me. As flawed as we are, as prone to sin as we are, he's chosen, instead of just stepping right out of heaven and coming and just saying, waving his magic God wand and making everything okay, he's chosen you and me to advance his kingdom. Isn't that crazy? Back when the Bible was written, we talked about last week, Moses said that he created man and woman in his image, the image of God. He created them. Back then, the image of God would have been the president, would have been the Pharaoh, the king. Everybody else, they were not God's image. They were just servants of the image bearer. And so the king's decisions mattered. His words mattered. We think that as well. The president of the United States, his words matter. My words don't matter so much. Because when the president says things, when he signs a document, the course of history changes. But when I say something, when I sign a document, the course of history doesn't change that much. Maybe it changes my life a little bit, but doesn't really make that big of a difference. But the Bible comes in, and Jesus comes in his word and says, no. You were created in God's image. Every decision you make is as significant as the president of the United States. You are an image bearer of God. Your words matter just as much as his do. And so we're going to talk about speech for the next couple of weeks. Out of Proverbs, we're still in Proverbs, we're going to talk about our words, how we use our words. Wise words, foolish words. And words matter, right? Because God uses words to create. How did he create the universe? He spoke it into existence. And so when God speaks, he's very creative. He brings things together. He said the earth was formless and void, and he said, let there be light. Amen. Let there be heavens and the earth, let there be birds and all these living creatures, let us make man in our image. And he speaks and he brings things together, and he makes sense out of nonsense. He makes order out of chaos, and he just creates things, and he brings things together for these wonderful purposes. And then he puts image bearers, representatives on the earth, and he says, be fruitful and multiply. I want there to be a whole lot of you. And I want you to spread over the globe and fill the earth with my glory as my representatives. And so if we don't think our words matter as God's representatives, if we don't think that we can create, what does the word communicate mean anyway, right? What kind of words can you derive out of the word communicate? Community. Commune, together, communion. That means we all come together, all of our separate lives. We come together as a community. words, communication, they can bring things together, or they can destroy. They can separate things. They can breed conflict, dissension, hatred. I remember when I was a kid, I lived on this big piece of property out in the country, kind of, just right outside of the city in Auburn. Kathleen remembers this. My sister's here. She's my sister. And my little girl from, she's been away. They've been in Texas, riding horses. Yes, sir. Anyway, I look, we had this muscadine vine. And how do you say it there, Mr. William? Muscadine, same thing, right? One of them's green, one of them's purple. Scuppernong, there you go. And this thing had died, and it was just sort of a nuisance, and my dad was getting rid of the fence that it was hanging on, you know, and he decided to burn it. We had a pasture right behind the muscadine vine, and it was just, you know, 7 or 8 acre pasture, and it was beautiful. I mean, it had woods on one side, but it was this big pasture. And I can't remember exactly what happened. I just remember a bunch of fire trucks coming out to the yard one day. And I'm like, what is going on? And the entire pasture is black. Well, my dad had tried to burn the scuppernong vine and destroy it. And one little ember of flame or two, I don't know how long, got over in one part. And so he got over there and tried to stomp it out. And then it jumped and it got over. He tried to stomp it out. He thought he could manage. He thought he had the skill to manage this one little burn. But the next thing you know, it's like set ablaze. That he had to call the fire department. Now, me and my sister know my dad. And for him to call the fire department, any man to call the fire department is a humbling experience. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Amen. We don't want to call the fire department. But that's what our words are. We can set the pasture of our lives ablaze with our words. Amen. And boy, it can get out of hand fast. And it can get ugly. It can turn something beautiful into something very ugly. That was the ugliest pasture I've ever seen. And I hated looking at it. So, let me go over some words. Words that start and spread fires. Because our words matter. Solomon says in Proverbs, our words bring life or they bring death.
Amen.
And I'm just going to ask you to jump around. Now, if you have a sheet, I've given you a sheet, and you can reference a lot of these Proverbs on that sheet of paper. That's for you, so you don't have to flip around a lot. And you can take that sheet of Proverbs home with you and just read over them. These are all the Proverbs that I found. There are more. The Proverbs talk more about speech than they do anything else. And so we're going to spend some time, maybe 2 weeks, this week and next week. But if you read in Proverbs 16:28, says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Do you see that? How whispering can separate people. Our words have the ability, everybody get this, our words have the ability to destroy a relationship.
Amen.
Words.
Amen.
Some people might think that adultery is bad. Some people think that murder is bad. Some people think that other things like that are bad. And you would expect to find in the Proverbs a whole lot of words talking about those things, but no. He talks more about our words than anything. And here's why. Because the previous sins that I mentioned might be between one or two people. And it stays about right there. But you let that situation get into the mind and the words of somebody else. And the next thing you know, you've set a whole community on fire. Right?
Amen.
You can destroy a church with gossip.
Amen.
You can destroy a family with whispering and backbiting, can't you? Because the other sins that I've talked about, they're right in front of you. You can sort of manage them. But words have the tendency to hide behind the scenes. They lodge themselves into the heart of a person. And that person usually doesn't use their words to expose the truth, but we'd rather believe a lie instead of the truth. Words are dangerous.
Amen.
They're significant. They're valuable. But as good as they can be, they can also be equally as devastating. So let's go to the beginning. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. This is where the Bible introduces us to the father of lies. Satan brought everything down with his words. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
He didn't go up to Eve, knock her upside the head, and say, eat the apple, right? He didn't go up to Adam, tie Adam's hands behind his back, force his mouth open, and shove the fruit into his face.
Amen. Amen.
This is all he did. Are you ready for this? Now the serpent, verse 1, the serpent was more crafty. That word crafty in the Hebrew looks very much like the word naked in Hebrew, but with a twist. Nakedness is the truth about who we are, right? Craftiness is, I'm going to hide the truth about who I am. I'm going to twist it just a little bit so you believe something that's not the truth. He was crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, right? He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did you see that? We're going to stop right there. Here's what the serpent did. With that word, with those words, the serpent drove a wedge in between Eve and God. Is God really for you? You mean to tell me you can't eat of any tree in the garden? And that's not what God said, did he? He said you could eat of any tree in the garden except one. And he just took those words and he twisted them just a little bit and he slipped them in Eve's heart and drove a wedge there. That deception, that craftiness created separation. And so you'll see throughout Scripture, there's what's called the seed of the serpent, the children of the serpent. And that's anyone who is evil or wicked, who's not a follower of Yahweh, of God, of Christ. And their lives are characterized by lying and deceiving, not telling the truth. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 24. It says, whoever hates disguises himself with his lips. You hear that? And harbors deceit in his heart. And so we use words to sort of distort the truth. We don't want people, we throw a smoke screen out. And that's why instruction is so important. The word for instruction means shooting through the smoke to get right to reality, to get right to the truth. And that's why we need wisdom so badly. Because not only do our hearts sort of want to believe deceit, not only are our hearts easily fooled, but we need instruction so that we can have the Word of God come in and take all the smoke and peel it back so that we can see the reality of the case, so we can see the truth of the matter. We need wisdom. And so the serpent set the garden ablaze. Instead of filling the earth with the light of his glory, we fill the earth with the smoke of deceit and death. We bring death with our words. And so there are two types of words. I tried my best to characterize foolish speech into two categories. Now, there are probably different categories, but these get the most of them. Words that deceive others And then words that destroy others. Deceiving and destroying. Those are the two things that our words can do. Now, those are not nice words, are they? Deceiving and destroying. Here's the thing. Everyone in this room is guilty as charged of speaking deceiving words and speaking destroying words. Can I get an amen? That's the truth. Now, if you don't believe that, you got smoke in your eyes. Or a log. So here are words that deceive. Here are words that deceive. And I'm just going to go through a list of ways that we deceive with our words. The first way is that we boast. Now, what is boasting? Why is boasting deceitful? Anybody want? You can just spit it on out if you want. What is boasting? Bragging. Making more of ourselves than we really are. Right? Boasting. And so it's, you know, all my kids have these superhero costumes. Right? They go into the back playroom and they come out looking like Spider-Man. You know, but Spider-Man these days, those costumes are pretty awesome because Spider-Man, they come out with these big pectoral muscles and the ab muscles and all this kind of stuff and a mask on. That's exactly what boasting is. I'm a whole lot stronger than you think I am. I'm a whole lot smarter than you think I am. I'm not as gullible as you think I am. I am more than you think I am. I am extraordinary. I am not an ordinary person. I am above average. Every single one of us wants to be above average. From a very young age, we were taught that being above average was necessary for survival. It was on our standardized tests. I remember getting the tests and wondering, am I average or am I above average? I need to be above average. If I'm not above average, I'm going to die. If I'm not, you know, I used to wear 3 shirts. You know why I wore 3 shirts? Because I was so skinny. I wanted you to think that I was not as skinny as I really am. And when you're 6'4", 147 pounds, when you're 16 years old, I mean, yeah, you want to be bigger than you are. Jeez. So we boast. We boast. We've got Proverbs 25:14 on that one. Proverbs 25:14 says, "Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give." In other words, we talk a lot. We talk about all these great things that we are and that we're going to do, and it never pans out. And all boasting does is gets a smile out of the other person for a minute. You know, let me get you just for a moment while I'm in your presence, you thinking that I'm better than I really am, and then I'm out of your life so that you can't find me out in the future. And that's why so many friendships, are you ready for this? That's why so many friendships are superficial. That's why we ski over the top of all human relationships. Let me get into your presence, whammo, let me hit you with how glorious I am. I'm out. Because if you hang out with me for longer than about 30 minutes, you're going to find out that I'm not that smart. Amen? So that's boasting. Boasting is deceitful. Lying is also deceitful. Why do we lie? Amen. Lying is not telling the truth. It's bearing false witness against your neighbor. There are many reasons why we lie. Well, why we distort the truth. Here's the main reason why we lie, because we're scared. It's not, the Bible, God doesn't really care that you're lying. He cares why you're lying. If you lie or your children lie, don't just focus on the lie. Focus on the sin beneath the sin. Why do people lie? And we lie because we're scared. We're afraid that if you find out the truth about me, you will not like me or you will punish me. Right? We're afraid of the outcome of the truth. I can't tell the truth because if I tell the truth, what I want to happen might not happen. And whatever that want is a number of different things for all of us. Flattery is another way that we deceive. When we flatter people. when you don't really think so highly of somebody. Flattery is the opposite of gossip, you know. Gossip is saying something behind somebody's back you won't say to their face. Flattery is saying something to their face you'd never say behind their back. I mean, the definitions are a little more involved, but you know, there's exceptions to those rules. But it's lying. You don't really think that person's that great. You just want something from them. Flattery is manipulation. You're trying to get something because you're scared. Blame shifting. You ready for this? What is blame shifting? It's making excuses for your sin. What did Adam do when God said, "Where are you, Adam? Did you eat of the tree? He's like, "She made me do it." Blame shifting. She made me do it. And here's the ultimate blame shift. The woman you gave me made me do it. And so it wasn't the woman, ultimately, it was actually God, God's fault. "God, if you hadn't put this woman in my life, I would have never sinned against you." He's blame shifting. Don't focus on me and my sin. I want you to focus on somebody else because it's somebody else's fault. And everybody in this room blame shifts. We want the attention to get away from us. Here's the ultimate reason why we deceive. It's because we're scared. Adam deceived because he was scared. He was scared of the consequences of the truth about himself. He was scared. And we don't trust the truth is ultimately good for us, and so we'll hide. Why do you think we don't confess our sins more? Why do you think we're arrogant? Why do you think that people don't really know the secrets in our heart? Why do you think we hide so much? Why haven't you told anybody else that secret that's lodged in your heart that you've never told anybody? Why not? Because you're scared. You're scared if somebody knew, if somebody really knew that about you, they would surely reject you. They would hate you. They would reject you, they would leave you, and ultimately you'd be shamed, embarrassed, lonely, and man, the gossip storm that would start, and everybody would hate you, right? And so Proverbs, 28:13. I love this one. "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper." Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. And so deceiving gets you where? Nowhere, ultimately. Somewhere it says a lying tongue lasts for a moment in Proverbs. All right, so those are words that deceive. Now for words that destroy. And I want to make this point. The reason why I'm talking about lying and deceiving, and then I'm saying because you're scared a lot, is because I did a word search, okay? I did a word search on the word heart in the Bible, and did you know it's not a whole lot of heart, not a whole lot of heart, and then Psalms talks a lot about heart, Proverbs talks a lot about heart, and then heart. So the Proverbs are all about the heart. And our words are what? All about the heart. Our words reveal what our heart is believing. What we are saying is what our hearts are believing. We've got to understand that the way we use our words, how we use our words, if we deceive a lot, if we blame shift a lot, if we boast a lot, if we lie a lot, if we find ourselves defending ourselves a lot, gossiping a lot, complaining a lot, and all these sorts of stuff with our words, we've got to not just let it stop there, but go, ask the question, what do my words indicate to me about my heart? What is my heart believing? Do you get that? Because out of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. And so let me go to the next one, words that destroy others. You've got words that deceive others and then words that destroy others. I've got a good mind just to talk about gossip next week, and that's it. And we'll just have one whole sermon on gossip. Look at 26:20. Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. That's pretty easy to understand, right? You take out wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer or gossiper, quarreling ceases. So you get the sense that a whole community could be set ablaze by gossip, words that destroy somebody behind their back, right? And if you just take that wood out, if you take the gossip out, then a lot of the flames would just go away. Do you see that? Does anybody believe what I'm saying? Does anybody believe what God is saying here? Because you have been subject of gossip, words that destroy you behind your back, right? And you know as well as I do that not only have you gossiped and it's gotten yourself in trouble, but you've been the subject of it. And man, you've seen what it can do. Now, not only does speaking gossip destroy others, are you ready for this? Everybody pay attention. Listening to it does as well. Oh, screech. Everybody's like, oh man, I don't gossip all that much. I don't gossip all that much. And then I'm like, wait, but you listen to it and you're like, oh heck. Amen. Why do you think there are so many magazines that gossip about celebrities? Why do you think that? Why do you think it's so? Who in the world? Why is the Inquirer still in business? Seriously. It's because people want dirt on important people. Because we think, what? Important people are image of God. We're not. The important people are the ones that matter in life. And if they are flawed, then I'm okay. There's another reason, though. Look at 26:22. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. The words of a gossip are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. If you let gossip enter into you, it will infect you. And if you don't think that you're susceptible to infection, you're deceived. You got a log in your eye or smoke in your face. Here's another one that's going to get a lot of us in here. Are you ready for this one? Mocking. Let me define that word for you. Teasing people, laughing at people, janking on folks. I know that a lot of us in this room love to jank on folks. But here's the deal, and you might not want to listen to it. It's deadly. Deadly. All right, if you don't believe me, it ain't me that's saying it. Chapter 17, verse 5. Are you ready? Here's where we all don't like God because we love to jank on folks. All right, here we go. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. Yikes. Whatever you're saying about that person to mock them or tease them or laugh at them, you are saying that to God. You are insulting God. Did you hear James chapter 3? James chapter 3, it says, with it, that is the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Amen. Amen. Yikes. Amen. Yikes. So here's why we destroy others with our words. You ready for this? Everybody pay attention. If you don't listen to anything else I say, we destroy others with our words because we want to destroy God. Because you don't like God. Go chew on that one for a little bit. You know, I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to let you just be challenged by it. We destroy others because we hate God. We hate the truth about ourselves, and we hate being held accountable for our actions. And so we want to destroy the accountability in our lives. Are you ready? Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that word instruction means chastisement, discipline, repercussions for our actions. Who is the one who gives repercussions for our actions? God does. And because we are foolish and we don't like discipline, we do not like being held accountable for our actions at all. We wish that we could just do what we want to do, and you know what? Nothing bad would happen if we just did what we want to do. Is anybody on the same page with me? Don't you wish you could just do what you want to do and nobody would say anything to you about it? Don't you wish that you could just do whatever you want to do and God would have no anger towards you at all if you were just to go about and just do whatever you want to do? You didn't have any accountability. But accountability, repercussions, chastisement reminds everybody in this room that we are children of God. We are created. Amen. And we are held accountable to God as our Father. And here's the deal. Freedom isn't being able to do what you want to do. That's not freedom. Freedom is wanting to do what you're supposed to do. Freedom is enjoying how you're supposed to live. But if you don't love God, you'll never enjoy how you're supposed to live. You'll never be free. And so here's the deal. Here's how we get him out of the picture. We gossip about his image. We destroy other people. Because I don't like God, I'm going to destroy his image. I'm going to destroy people that remind me that he exists. And believe me, even if you don't believe that God exists, when you look into the eyes of another individual and when you hear those words, you know that those words are significant. You know that sticks and stones will break your bones. Amen. And that names will hurt you. You know that words can get lodged into your heart and stick with you for years. I remember words that were spoken to me when I was in third grade. And if I told you what those words were, everybody in this room would crack up laughing. But they hurt me. Amen. And I'll tell you the kid's name who said it. It's true. But why do people's words matter so much to us? Because they're coming from image bearers. They're coming from people who are representing God to us. And so when we don't like him, when we don't like God, we destroy others. So as the pasture was set ablaze, the firemen came and put that blaze out, right? Gosh, I'm almost out of time. Oh, I'm out of time. Jesus comes and puts the fire out. Words can put the fire out. The gospel puts the fire out. The word of God, Jesus Christ, puts the fire out. Amen. You can't put the fire out. All the mess that you've made with your words, don't you dare try to go and put it out. Only Jesus can put it out. Here's how you'll try to put it out. You'll try to lie to put it out. Amen. I didn't really mean that. I was just joking. And here's the thing. The Proverbs has something to say about it. He who lies and says, aha, I was just joking, is an abomination to the Lord. So he gets rid of like every way we try to lighten up our words. I didn't really mean what I said. I was just joking. And God's like, no, you did mean what you said. Don't be playing around like that. But the good news is that Jesus comes and he puts the matter out. He's the truth, not deception. You ready for this? I'm saying that a lot lately. You ready for this? All right. I don't know. It's Proverbs 25:25, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And boy, did he come from a far country. He came from heaven to bring good news. He came to bring the truth, not deception. If you look in Proverbs chapter 8, gosh, I hate it that I'm hurrying right now. Can I have 10 more minutes? 10 more minutes? Sorry, Mike. 10 more minutes. We're going for it. Verse 6 through 8. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. Just hear the contrast. Would you rather be around people that are always lying to you and destroying you with their words, or would you rather be around this? Hear, for I will speak noble things, verse 6, and from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Don't you want to be around somebody who hates wickedness in their mouth? They will never speak a wicked word to you. Everybody's like, oh man, I hate Jesus. I don't want to be around Jesus. Jesus is a chump and all this kind of stuff. But no, we don't really hate this. We want to be around people who are going to tell us the truth. We don't want people that are going to backbite us. Jesus will never backbite you. He'll never tell the truth about you behind your back. He'll tell it right to your face. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Isn't that great? And so here's the truth. We are dead in our trespasses. We love deceiving. We love destroying people. And Jesus comes and he tells us the truth about that. He tells us the truth that we need a Savior and that we can't save ourselves. You can't put out the fire. You need a fireman. Now, don't picture Jesus in a fireman hat. He is literally a fireman. He will save you from hell. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, which is becoming probably one of my favorites. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure. Don't listen to someone who doesn't have the word of God. Listen to Jesus, who is true, who will tell you the truth. And listen, if you turn and listen to him, in other words, Jesus and the word of God is presupposing here that you are head on ready to listen to people who are foul and foolish. And so he is saying, turn from your ways and listen to me now. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Do you remember what I was telling you in the beginning? Why do we use deceit? Why do we boast? Why do we lie? Why do we blame shift? Because we are afraid of disaster. And I don't know what disaster is for you. We all have what we think disaster is. You will be able to dwell secure without fear of disaster. Because of Jesus, we can live without hiding. Check this out, verse 28. Chapter 28, verse 11. I'm sorry. Chapter 28, verse 13. We've already been there before. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Are you ready for this? Here we go. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Did everybody hear that? If you confess your transgressions and forsake them, you will obtain mercy. What is mercy? Not getting what you deserve. Every one of us, because of our transgressions, we deserve death. We deserve disaster. And what he's saying here, did you hear it? He who conceals transgression will not prosper. But we don't believe that. We believe he who conceals transgressions will prosper. He who confesses will die. That's what we believe. But the word of God comes in and tells you something completely different. Instead of saying he who conceals his transgressions will actually live, he says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. You won't live if you conceal your transgressions. And then he says, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. You deserve death. You deserve disaster because of your transgressions. And the Word of God is telling you right now, Jesus Himself is telling you right now, if you confess, if you lay them open, if you stop hiding and deceiving, if you stop boasting, take off the mask, be who you are, lay yourself out there, you will obtain mercy. You will not get what you deserve. You will not get disaster. And you've got to ask the question, why not? Where did my disaster go? Where's the death that I deserve? And here's why you can have mercy, because the death that you deserve because of your transgressions was poured out on Jesus. He absorbed all of your disaster. And if you just place your faith in Him, you can confess all your sins and not worry that you will get punishment for your sins, because all of your punishment was poured out on Him. You see how the gospel changes everything. The gospel makes us the most honest people in the world. The gospel makes us the most fearless people in the world. The gospel makes us the most humble people in the world, because we're confessing our sins all the time. You can't possibly think, I'm Spider-Man if I tell you what I did yesterday. Right? Scott, you're Superman. Scott, you're Superman. Scott, you know a whole lot. Spend time with me for a day. Let me confess my sins to you. And all of a sudden, I'm not what you thought I am. I'm not what I tried to convince you I was. And then you take your eyes off me onto Jesus, because He is everything. You can be honest. You don't have to deceive anymore. That's what the Proverbs is talking about. Is that good news? Oh, man. And you don't have to destroy, but you can build others up and you can bless other people. Everybody listen to me, and I don't care what your position in life is, and I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care if you just decided you want to be a Christian today, right now, and you have made a wreck of your life. Your words right now matter. And the scriptures say that if you give truthful words to someone, everybody listen, you can give them life. If somebody's gossiping to you, pay attention now, because you've got to believe in Jesus to actually stop somebody in gossiping tracks. Amen. Amen. I had to do it this week. But if you believe that Jesus paid for you, you can say, you know what? Hold on just one second. Could I say something that might encourage you? You don't have to make somebody look bad. You don't have to do that anymore. Because God can forgive you. And if they're a Christian, He has forgiven you. You don't have to try to destroy somebody else. You can actually bless them. And it's safe. Proverbs 12:18 says that we can bring healing to people. I don't care who you are. You can bring healing to someone with your words. Did you know that? You can bring gracious words. What are gracious words? Merciful words are not giving. Mercy is not giving somebody what they deserve. Grace is giving them what they don't deserve. Right? And so if you're a little kid and, you know, you're supposed to get disciplined for lying, mercy is not getting the discipline, not getting the punishment, right? Grace is getting taken out for ice cream instead. And I want to challenge everybody this week to give gracious words. What does that mean? If somebody wrongs you, don't give them what they deserve. Did you hear me? If somebody wrongs you, or if somebody has wronged you, don't give them what they deserve, but give them what they don't deserve. Give them gracious words, and it will startle them. It will shock them. I live with a wife who gives me gracious words. She doesn't think she does, but she does. And it shocks me every time. Well, no. Amen. All right, I think that's it. And so the fire spread all over the whole pasture. The fireman came out and put the fire out, and it was hard. You know, it'd pop up over here and pop up over here. He'd put the fire out here, put the fire out here. And then we were left with a black pasture But I'll never forget, a few days later, this green flower came up. And it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. I mean, literally, that's not an exaggeration. If you see a black pasture and a flower come up in the middle of a black pasture, it's absolutely beautiful. And then all of a sudden, this really green grass started coming up out of the black. And all of a sudden, you get the idea that out of this burnt black mess, God created something really beautiful. And so here is the challenge to every person in this room. You belong to a kingdom. A kingdom that God is calling to be confessing. And every time you confess your sins and place your trust in Him, all of a sudden this beautiful flower comes up in your life and in your relationships. And every time you give gracious words, all of a sudden the relationship just gets, and you're honest in the relationship, the relationship comes together, and all of a sudden a beautiful tree just sprouts up. And your words build things and bring things together. And the Lord, through your honest words and your trusting words in Him and His grace, brings things back together where you never thought beauty could happen. Isn't that a good picture? Amen. So then here's the thing. That pasture was so healthy after that. I had to, you have to mow it a lot more, and you kind of wish it would burn again. But He makes beauty out of ugly things. Amen. Sorry we went a little longer than I usually do. Let's pray.